Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, and we are talking all things travel etiquette. I'm here today with Ida Krill with Global Sun and Fun Travel.
Hi, Ida. Hi, Anita.
Glad to have you here with me. And also Doc Bill with Sapel Island Birdhouses, Vacation Rental Cottages down on beautiful Sapel Island, Georgia.
It's a beautiful day on Sapelo, and come visit Sapelo Islands on beautiful Sapelo Island, Georgia. Our website is www.sapeloislandbirdhouses.com. We have our festival going on this weekend, as well as having a great Christmas holiday season coming up. So please check us out at Sapelo Island Birdhouses.
Wow, you know, I keep forgetting that Christmas is right around the corner, but it's really coming up on us soon.
Very soon.
Very soon, very soon. Now, we've been talking with Anna Post about travel etiquette, and we've talked about, you know, traveling by plane, traveling by car and bus and train. And now that we've traveled a bit, it's time to get to the hotel, Anna. So when we think about hotel check-ins, there can be some concerns that people can have about that. So what is the best way to voice any concerns if you have during that whole check-in process? If the room is not ready, or, you know, if they're telling you that, you know, the room that you thought that you had is not available and now you have to take something different, how should we handle those kind of situations?
First off, stay calm. These people are here to help you out, even if you're being told no at the moment. So some things to think about. Ask about alternatives. Well, would another room on a different floor be ready? Sometimes they have the ability to switch things around a little bit, or even some will be able to call you, for example, on a cell phone when your room is ready. These are things to ask for, but don't be angry if they're not possible. You should know your check-in time, and don't be upset if an early check-in isn't available. It's also smart if you know you'll need one. I do this all the time, to call ahead and sort of get it on the books, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be arriving at 1. Could a room be ready? And sometimes they can work to accommodate you a little bit better that way.
Absolutely. I like that idea, because a lot of it's really planning on your part as well, especially with the hotels. And also, too, depending on if you've booked your hotel through some of the online booking agents, such as Hotel.com and some of those like that, or if you're going directly to the hotel, you know, there can also be some discrepancies, too, that might come up.
That's very true. Another thing to be prepared for is that you might check your bags and go have a little walk around or get some lunch or something in the restaurant while you wait. And if you plan for that, it can be a perfectly nice way to spend a couple of hours, but sometimes the surprise of it can leave people a little cranky.
But
absolutely. Anita, this is one area where your travel agent can be your best friend. Because they will reach out to the hotel property, and rather than having you be there getting frustrated, you'll have someone there advocating for you, and they can arrange for an early check-in, things like that.
Absolutely. They're very, very, very good point. Very good point. But now, moving on now, because we are at the hotel, and we all love to eat and have a great meal, especially when we go to different destinations. And in particular, when we're traveling international, we want to try some of those foods there. But there are a lot of little things that can come up in terms of how to have good manners when we're eating out, when we're on a trip. So, Anna, let's shift a little bit and talk about eating out in restaurants. So are there any general table manners to keep in mind, sort of no matter where you are traveling?
Yes, there are a couple. One, and this may surprise people that this is the first place I go, but think about how you're dressing. You're not necessarily at home where you know what passes for casual or for dressy. So pay attention, especially in cities, to how the other people in the hotel are dressing and how people might be dressed at the restaurant, especially for dinners, which in some places people appreciate, even if you're a tourist, if you make a little bit of an effort at night to dress up just a little bit. So that's one. Another is to be on time for your reservation. Otherwise, you might have to forfeit it. Mm-hmm. And lastly, think about volume, whether it's crying children who maybe need one parent to give them a break for a moment, or it is cell phones and things like that. Don't take cell phone calls in a restaurant. Just don't do it. Don't.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Not a good thing.
What would be the best way to communicate your frustration or curiosity about a dish? You're in another country, or you're in a part of a different part of the United States. What would be the best way to communicate your curiosity about the dish, and how would you eat it, and the rules regarding the dish, and the curiosity about what may be in it?
Well, I'll tell you, I've written a whole book on table manners, and even I get served things that I don't know what to do with sometimes. And so I do the most sensible thing I can possibly think of, and I ask the waiter. I say, could you tell me a little bit more about this dish? I mean, normally if I've ordered it, I've already asked that question, but it's fine to ask on the menu, could you tell me a little bit more about this? People often take a lot of pride in the food that is on the menus and will be excited to tell you about it. And then when it comes to eating it, you can certainly ask, what is the best way to eat this, or how is this eaten? I have done that myself on occasion. Especially some restaurants, even, it's not that it's foreign, they just get so creative with the servingware that it's a little hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, what goes with what? And yeah. I've definitely seen that. Dr. Bill and I really like Japanese food, and I've seen some people at the restaurant struggle with chopsticks, and then they ask for a fork. But I really like it when people give it a try and really try to use the chopsticks, because everyone has to learn at some point.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I can tell you that other people often appreciate very much, whether it's the restaurant or not in all cases, but in many cases I've heard people from other cultures really appreciate when you do try the chopsticks before you ask for the fork. I think it's a very nice gesture. You haven't always traveled physically to enter another culture, but by being in the restaurant and ordering, say, a piece of sushi, for example, I think that is a form of cultural travel, and I think the when in Rome still applies a little bit there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I know we're talking about restaurants, and usually with restaurants, it usually requires some amount of tipping, and tipping can vary, especially when we talk about international travel. Some places tip may be included, some places tipping may not be, you know, considered the thing to do. So what is the best way to reward sort of the above and beyond service, whether it's in a restaurant or even going back to hotels? Should we, you know, consider tipping those people that provide service in hotels?
Yes, absolutely. And for tipping across the board, I'll be really clear that I'm an expert in American etiquette. That being said, I have a huge respect for the etiquette of other cultures. Tipping is very specific to place. So traveling outside of the U.S., please do your homework and find out what is expected there so that you can be respectful in the culture. For the U.S., if the general tipping guideline for in a restaurant is 15 to 20% of the pre-tax amount. You can certainly tip after tax if you want, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And in many places, it's really trending toward 20. And in hotels, it's nice to leave, the average is about $1 to $2, up to maybe $5, depending on how nice the hotel is, a day for the housekeeping services. And the reason it's per day is because it isn't always the same person cleaning the room.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people get shorted and then someone gets the jackpot otherwise.
Exactly, exactly.
But now, Anna, I'm sorry, Anita, when you're tipping your housekeeper, where would be the best place to leave it? And should you put a little note? Because I'm assuming they're not going to know that that's a tip.
Yes, so I like to leave it usually either on the dressing table, maybe on the ironing board, something like that, someplace where it's sort of very clearly separate from everything else. Mm-hmm. Even then, I've come back to my room and found the tip sitting there. I'm sure somebody not wanting to be accused of having stolen my money, quite bluntly.
Exactly.
So there are times where I will leave, you know, a little note, especially if they do something a little extra in the room, I'll usually leave, you know, a thanks or a smiley on one of those little pads of paper that they leave for you, if there's any doubt about it being clear.
And that should really be a good indication to them that it is a tip and something for them.
Yes, you have permission. This is for you. Absolutely.
You may take it.
99% of the time, I've never had a problem with that, but
right,
just in case, every now and then it's nice to do. It's not going to hurt.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, we will have more of this great information from Anna Post. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550, FM 102.9, WDUN.